me and you, and you and me. No matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you. Happy together.
Something's gone wrong in the happy-go-lucky world of Nintendo.
Welcome to NExpress, the official Nintendo podcast of soundonsite.org. This is the official third episode here today. With me are Ricky D, as always.
And I am officially Ricky Ricardo Fernandez da Costa Sal.
Yeah.
Yes, so, you did it.
Get that right.
Everything is official here.
And with me also is Aaron Santos.
Hello.
And Max Coville, the other games editor of soundonsite.org.
Hello.
Now, Max, we have a tradition here on the show. Last week we had Mike Werby, games editor over at soundonsite.org as well. And each and every single week when we introduce a new guest, we ask our guests five random questions to kind of ease into the conversation, sort of like an icebreaker.
That sounds good.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so typical first question. What is your favorite Nintendo game of all time?
Has to be Mega Man 2.
Who is your favorite host of the NExpress podcast? You don't have to answer that.
Okay.
No, I was going to say, like, you have to answer it. Do it.
What is your favorite video game movie adaptation?
I actually have a soft spot for the original live-action Street Fighter.
Awesome. All right. Who is your favorite female character of any video game?
Off the top of my head right now, we're going to say Chun-Li.
Are you a cat person or a dog person?
Cat person.
Okay. And my final question is, what is your favorite video game console for Nintendo?
The Super Nintendo.
Awesome.
And why don't you go ahead and say Mario for us, Max?
Say Mario?
Do it. Say Mario. Yeah.
Mario.
So I've gotten a lot of feedback on the way that everyone says Mario with their accents, and it's really, really funny to some of my best friends. So just thought I'd get that out of the way for them.
I hear it all the time where people pronounce it differently.
It's a me, Mario.
All right. Well, seeing as how this is the third episode, it seems appropriate that we should discuss the 3DS, which actually just celebrated its fourth birthday on March 27th, originally coming out in 2011. The 3DS has had a really, really interesting history. Initially, when it first launched in 2011, it had a little bit of a rocky start, but now is pretty easily considered the most popular portable console out there. So, guys, let's go ahead and break into the 3DS discussion.
All right, you mentioned that the rough launch of the 3DS, and I just want to further emphasize how much they thought like that was a very turbulent time for Nintendo, and they were very worried about whether or not the product would really succeed. I remember that they ended up giving people who bought into the console originally at its $300 price a little special bonus.
Yeah, the Ambassador Program, which, in case you don't know, the ambassadors of the program who bought a 3DS before a certain point before the price drop all received a lot of really exclusive games that have yet to be released on the 3DS outside of the Ambassador Program. And it was a lot of games. It was like 20... 40 games, I don't remember how many, but a lot of really, really solid titles from multiple consoles on there, which was a lot of fun. Yeah,
I mean, like, you got Metroid Fusion, you got a Mario Kart game, there was WarioWare. It was just a lot of different titles for gamers to try out.
Yeah, and there was a lot of talk on multiple sources predicting that the 3DS was going to die out within the year. There was a lot of really negative speculation considering the 3DS. But Nintendo did a pretty good job turning it around. In the winter is when I think the comeback really started. I don't know. What would you say, Max?
Yeah, I mean, they dropped the price and they started bringing out titles, and that was the big thing, that there was nothing really gripping to play for the 3DS at launch. I mean, they had maybe a few interesting launch titles. I remember they wanted to release Kid Icarus as a huge launch title, and that kept on getting delayed and didn't really make it for the launch.
Yeah. And was Ocarina of Time 3D even part of the launch? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was part of the launch. That was the game pretty much to get. Yeah. Was a 10-year-old 3D remake
that everyone owned on every console.
Right.
But it was definitely worth buying again. The graphics that were updated for it made it look really, really great, and it was a ton of fun to play on the 3DS. So.
And they included the Master Quest, which wasn't that was only included in the GameCube version that they released, I believe. Yeah. So
if you didn't ever get a chance to play that, that's where you could get your chance. Yeah, I think the turnaround really started with Mario 3D Land, which came out in November of the launch year, and was followed closely by Mario Kart 7, and that's when people started to change their tune about the 3DS. Probably where it really, really turned around, though, was come March and April, where we had Kid Icarus Uprising finally dropped after many delays. But the really big title that came out in April was Fire Emblem Awakening, which really, really changed the 3DS's fate in many people's eyes, offering an exclusive title that many people hadn't experienced before, that was the best of the franchise, according to very many people. So why don't we go ahead and chat a little bit about Fire Emblem Awakening. I'm assuming you've all played that, am I right?
Yeah, I played it. Who else?
Yeah, I didn't play it, fortunately.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So the reason why I'm deciding to remain very silent in our first segment here of the podcast is because I just purchased my 3DS this year. So I got the new 3DS XL. So prior to this portable system, I've never owned a portable Nintendo gaming system ever. I remember I used to play on the Game Boy a lot, but that's only because my next door neighbor best friend had a Game Boy. Mm-hmm. So he used to let me borrow it all the time. So I'm still not very familiar with the Fire Emblem series. I've played a lot of games on the 3DS, but that's because, once again, it's because someone I know was either nice enough to lend it to me. My nephews had the 3DS. I've used their system, but I could never really play a role-playing game that requires so much of my time because I've never actually owned one prior to this year.
Mm-hmm. I don't own the 3DS, but the ones before that, I owned the DS before that, and I owned the Game Boy Advance. It's just I've never gotten around to getting the 3DS yet.
Well, the thing is with Fire Emblem Awakening, I believe it's developed by Intelligent Designs, who was before that known in the West really for their Advance Wars titles. Mm-hmm. And Fire Emblem Awakening has that very same map-like concept where you're only able to move a certain amount of spaces, and it's a tactics game.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to Final Fantasy Tactics, too. So, yeah, it hits a lot of good notes, and at the time, it was a title that you could really sink a lot of hours into your 3DS in, which is something the 3DS really needed.
Since then, they've added a lot more titles and are adding a lot more coming very soon, including another Fire Emblem, which we're all very excited about. Let's see, what else has come out since then? They released Luigi's Mansion, got a sequel on the 3DS, which was really, really good. We got Animal Crossing New Leaf, which was maybe the best in the franchise.
I know that it brought a lot of casual fans to the 3DS, too. A lot of them buy into that Animal Crossing franchise.
You know what, guys? Animal Crossing is one of those games that I actually did play because my nephews had it. But I actually have Animal Crossing now. It's the first game I downloaded because I got it from the Club Nintendo Platinum Membership Awards from like last week. They finally revealed them, and so out of all the games I could have chosen, I chose Animal Crossing, and I started playing it again, and I think it's a really charming game, and that's the kind of game that I want to play on my portable system, you know.
It's like the perfect portable title. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. But so I have a question for you guys. So I'm not big, or at least not until now, I wasn't really big on playing video games on the go. I much, even to this day, I still prefer to play at home in my living room on like a home console. I kind of feel like, I'm not sure if it was you, Max, but someone on the Sound Insight staff said that they actually preferred the 3DS over the Wii and the Wii U. Was that you, or do any of you guys prefer the portable system?
I don't really prefer it. I don't really travel that far with it. I mean, if I'm going to play with my 3DS, I'm normally in the same even room that I'm in with my other consoles. I just have decided to use the 3DS that day.
Mm-hmm. I've never been crazy about portables either. I'd rather have a more engrossing experience on console. I don't really travel. I don't do much like community transit. So it's like, not like the past couple of years, I just never saw myself having the time to play portable, because like, I'm not going to play it on the go, but at the same time, it's like, I'd rather be playing on home consoles, you know, because that's where it's at for me right now.
Aaron mentioned something about community transit, which is interesting, because in Japan, they developed the 3DS with transit in mind, because a lot of people travel on the train, and they added the spot pass feature, mm-hmm. and so a lot of that doesn't work in America.
Yeah.
But it was ideal for the Japanese market.
Well, I think we talked about this last week or the week before. I think it really has to do with your lifestyle. Like, for me personally, I need a game that's quick, that I can shut off really like easily and not have to worry about like saving and or restarting from scratch. And or, like, for example, Xenoblade Chronicles X was released yesterday, actually, right, in North America. And I'm in no rush to buy it, because A, I just don't have time to play it right now, and B, I just want to play it on like my home console, not on the road, because I just, for my personal lifestyle, I don't think it'll work on my portable system.
The cool thing about the 3DS is that you can at any point just close the console and it'll hold your progress really, really easily. So they did a lot of things to ensure that you could play longer titles on the go, including just pressing the menu button, going to other menus, and being able to come back to your game, assuming that you're not starting up another game. Most of the time, it'll keep your game open at the exact spot that you paused it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand, but it's just that, like, you know, when you're like, okay, for example, I have Monster Hunter 4. I played Monster Hunter 4, put in like maybe like 10 hours into the game so far. But my problem with Monster Hunter 4 is that, like, if I'm like midway through my quest, I don't want to have to close my system, go to work for like 6 hours, open it up and try to figure out what I was doing and trying to remember exactly what I have to still do. Like, it's just, it's weird. Like, I want a game in which I can breeze through a stage in like maybe 15, 20 minutes. I want something like Shovel Knight, basically. I want something like Shovel Knight. I don't want something like Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. I think it's amazing that it has, you know, when I'm playing Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, I think it's amazing that it looks as good as it looks, because the graphics are unbelievable. The 3D is fantastic, even though I turned the 3D off because it hurts my eyes. But it just looks beautiful. It sounds beautiful. And it's amazing I can have this game to play on my portable system. But when I'm playing The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, I'm playing it at nighttime when I'm in my bed. Like, I'm not playing it on the go. And so I can have just as easily play that on my Wii U, but it's not available for the Wii U, you know? And that's why, like, for me personally, that's why I really want the next Nintendo console to be a unified system, because I want the option of being able to play a game like Majora's Mask or Xenoblade Chronicles X and or Animal Crossing on the go or at home without having to, I mean, I can still, but it has to be in this, like, small portable system as opposed to, like, my big screen TV, you know? Mm.
Yeah, I would say there are a couple of games that I thought the on-the-go feature made it a lot more fun and opened a lot of opportunities. I would say any game that you can play with other players, whether it be small battles with friends in Pokemon X and Y, or races in Mario Kart 7. What else is there?
Smash Brothers.
I also love to play Smash Bros. With my brothers, and at any point, all of us have a 3DS and we can challenge each other with these 3DSs regardless of where we are and start playing Smash Bros.
To bring it right back to how good Fire Emblem is, though, you can save during your battles, and I would still send you towards that game to give it a try. It's not as RPG heavy as you would imagine it to be.
Well, let me ask you a question. Fire Emblem is on my list of things that I need to play, right? Especially now that I'm doing a Nintendo podcast, I feel like it's a major blind spot for me. But how many hours of gameplay will I need to put into Fire Emblem in order to complete the game?
it depends on how thorough you want to be. If you get really into the children,
the romancing,
yeah, the most thorough party you can, I would say it's probably floating around 40 or 50. If you just want to rush the game, you could probably do it in about 20.
Okay, 20 is not bad. I mean, I've already put in like 15 hours into Earthbound, replaying this game so we can review it at the end of the month. And that's like a game from like the Super NES era, right? But yeah, but I mean, I'm playing games like Mutant Muds, Shovel Knight, although I have Shovel Knight on the Wii U. Well, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, because, you know, it's Majora's Mask. But Ollie. You know, those are the games I'm playing on my 3DS.
Right.
Lots of indie, shorter titles.
Yeah, quick experiences. Even Mario can be a quick experience if you're only playing two or three stages.
Yeah. 3D Land did a great job of having relatively easy to get through levels.
Actually, I think that game is amazing. And if I had to do a list of the best games released so far that I played for the portable system, I would put that on top 5. Guaranteed.
Yeah, no, I'd probably agree with that. It was a really, really fun title that really blended the old side-scrolling Mario games with the 3D Mario games that we have on our home consoles.
Yeah.
Well, as far as like the older titles go, Nintendo had a great holiday season last year for the 3DS. They released an original Zelda title that was almost like a sequel to A Link to the Past called Zelda Link Between Worlds. And that game used the same Hyrule backdrop that people were familiar with, but created a completely new game that is one of the best games on the console. And they also released Pokemon X and Y, which brought me back to the franchise for the first time since Pokemon Blue almost a decade earlier. And they were fantastic Pokemon games.
They were a ton of fun. Added a lot new mechanics that we'd never seen before, including Mega Evolution. They improved upon existing mechanics, like the experience share. All around a very smooth, quick-end game that made the pacing more inviting for a portable console and for a whole new audience. It's a great jumping point. I'm saying that to you, Ricky.
Oh, I mean, it's not a matter of trying to sell me on buying and or playing these games. It's a matter of right now. It's a matter of time. I mean, I did actually finally go out and buy the 3DS XL, right? so, you know, I've already got maybe 10 games. I think 10 or 11 games I already have for the system. So for me, now it's just a matter of finding time, you know? So it's easy for me to finish a game like Shovel Knight for the second or third time and to play a game like Ollie Ollie and Mutant Muds, you know? But now I want to get back into Monster Hunter, but I'm just not ready. I guess what I'm trying to say here is I'm just not ready to try out a game like Xenoblade Chronicles X, which I'm told requires about 200 hours of gameplay in order to complete it. I just don't have time in my life right now.
Well, let's say it's Xenoblade Chronicles 3D because X is actually the Wii U exclusive that's coming out later this year. They're very close, but...
Yeah.
So do you own both versions? Like, did you buy the new XL version?
I own both. I own the first Ambassador version, and now I own the new 3DS XL.
Okay, and are you happy with the new model?
Yes, it has improved battery life. The nub stick, as I call it, that controls the camera is very helpful. And I like the bigger screen as well. I think it was a worthwhile purchase to upgrade my 3DS.
So, not to sound ignorant, but in the United States, you guys have the exact same model that we have here in Canada, in which it's a lot bigger than the previous 3DS? Like, it's a lot larger?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had the small 3DS, and then we got the 3DS XL, and we even have a newer, the new one that you have, with how you can tell them the difference is that they have the thumbstick and the extra buttons on top.
Okay, yeah. No, because I know in, like, the UK, I believe it was a lot smaller.
Well, they had multiple new Nintendo 3DSs. One was the standard model, and one was the XL.
My God, how many new systems can you name new and not confuse like people?
Next is the double XL.
Here's the new double XXXXL new system.
Well, they don't have XL in Japan, so they call them the LL.
Oh my god! Nintendo, seriously! You do realize that everything works on a global scale now, especially with the internet. Like, because that's the thing. Like, sometimes I'll go on a website and I'll read an article. I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, which system? Because it's like it's a website based in the UK and or it's a website based in Australia, and everything becomes so confusing sometimes. You know, it's kind of like when you watch like Italian horror films and it have like 20 different titles in 20 different countries. Yeah. Anyways. So the 3DS. So okay. So I'm a newbie to the portable system, but I'm assuming Tim, you've had the system since its first release, and also you, Max, because you guys said you're part of the ambassadors program. What I want to know is, am I going to have some kind of sort of ambassadors program? Because Max, you weren't here, but I think it was last week I was telling a story about when I bought my 3DS, the new 3DS XL, as we call it here in Canada. It cost me in total $350, which was $100 more than my Wii U. So that's a lot of money for a portable gaming system.
No, I think that's just Canadian tax, unfortunately. It's $180 US here in America.
Wow.
I know, right? It was $250 here at Toys R Us. Toys R Us had the cheapest price, by the way, at the time. $250 plus tax, plus I had to buy the adapter to charge it, and I had to buy a game because it didn't come with the game, right? Plus I also wanted insurance, so the insurance cost me $50, so it was $350. Crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty costly.
That's a huge price gap.
Nintendo worldwide decided not to include a power adapter this time because they thought everybody else had a previous version and then they didn't need to include it in the box.
From their point of view, I can understand why, because if most people who are purchasing the new system already own the previous model, then you would be wasting your money giving everyone a new charger. But it does suck for those of us who don't own the old system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about the future of the 3DS, Tim. What, do you think that it's looking bright for the 2015?
I would say it's looking exceptionally bright. Starting right now, honestly, the last Nintendo Direct, we got a lot of indie titles announced, as well as a whole bunch of full titles. To name a few, we just got Box Boy. I don't want to talk too much about that because we'll talk about it later. We also got a new Fire Emblem game announced, which will be absolutely brilliant, I'm sure.
Actually, I want to talk a little bit about that. The Fire Emblem game, some people think that it's almost two different titles in Japan with a black and a white version, like it's called like Fire Emblem If or something. And they were saying that there's going to be like two different campaigns, one that follows the traditional Fire Emblem campaign of recapturing the kingdom and stuff like that, and then they'd have a other campaign where you're actually on almost like the evil side and you're trying to work through the kingdom and claim it and control it yourself.
Well, I don't know if it's so much the evil side. I think it's a darker side and a light side in the sense that your main character has to choose if he's going to go with his bloodline and or his adopted family. Like, which side is he going to choose? And so you can purchase both games and or purchase them individually and play the light version, complete it, and then play the dark version because you're making different choices, different options. So it'll be a completely different gaming experience, which I think is really smart.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting that we're going to get almost two different Fire Emblem titles.
For the first time, we also get to play as our avatar, as the protagonist, which is kind of cool as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see, what else did we have? You had mentioned another one that a lot of Japanese players have been talking a lot about. You want to talk about that real quick?
All right, yeah. It seems just within the last week or two, Nintendo has announced that they're going to bring Yo-Kai Watch to the West. Now, this is a blockbuster title in Japan, and it has a lot of like interesting things that sort of match with Pokemon's success, but it's not exactly Pokemon. Level 5, who are the creators of Professor Layton and developers of Puzzle Quest 9, are behind the game. And they are going to bring it here west, and hopefully they're hoping for another Pokemon-like success with their new game.
And that's one to really look out for. We can't stress enough how popular it is in Japan. It's one of the biggest titles out there right now. And as history has shown us, when those come to the States or to Canada, since we have Ricky and Aaron here.
Okay, but
they're always a ton of fun.
Okay, but the thing is, Yo-Kai Watch, right? So the thing about Yo-Kai Watch is that is really just for kids, though. Especially if you have kids, it might excite you, but for me, it just doesn't really do anything for me.
I don't know. I mean, you could look at Pokemon and say Pokemon's just for kids. Nintendo has an ability to really bring back the childhood memories in people. I mean, we still play Mario games every day, even though Mario is essentially a children's game almost. I mean, he just universally meets every age group.
That's where I disagree. I don't think it's a children's game. I think it's a family game. I think it's a game that adults can play and enjoy just as much as kids. Pokemon, I mean, you both grew up with Pokemon. You guys love Pokemon. I don't give a shit about Pokemon. Like, I really don't. Like, I really am looking forward to programming an upcoming episode later in the year in which I actually have to sit down and play a Pokemon game and or more than one. I'm gonna ask Tim to recommend me a few games that he thinks I should play so I can actually sit down with you guys and actually have a full-on discussion podcast review of Pokemon the series, because coming from someone who didn't really play Pokemon growing up, Pokemon really to me just doesn't mean much. Like,
yeah,
you know, like I know, like we talked about Pokemon last week, and I, you know, if anyone listened to last week's podcast, it was really fun. We basically looked at the 100 greatest video games of all time released by Nintendo, and we looked at specifically the top 10 list, and Tim ended up putting one of the Pokemon games into the top 10. And I wasn't willing to debate it because I don't have any knowledge of the Pokemon series. So who am I to actually say it doesn't belong? But that's just I have two blind spots. RPGs are a major blind spot for me because I don't have much time to play them, specifically the Fire Emblem series and Pokemon, which is really weird because I'm doing a Nintendo podcast. But...
Well, if you want another reason to be excited by Yo-Kai Watch, Pokemon gives Nintendo a lot of money to make the other titles that we love. And if Yo-Kai Watch can be anywhere near as successful, then Nintendo will be in good shape, which will be overall good for us.
Yeah.
One of the other games I wanted to mention, which you could say is for casual gamers, coming out this, I believe it's May or June, is Puzzles and Dragons and Puzzles and Dragons Super Mario Edition in one package. And they're just... both games are just really fun puzzle games. I had an opportunity to play them at a convention recently, and I think that they'll certainly have their fans.
Yeah, I am all for that. Right, that was a pretty good discussion in celebration of the 3DS's birthday. If you do not own a 3DS, I would highly recommend one. If you do have a 3DS, then join us in getting hyped for all the games coming out soon. We're going to take a brief little break and be right back for the main event.
The new Nintendo 3DS XL system. What makes it new? How about the face tracking 3D feature, which makes gameplay even smoother? Like with Luigi here. First, with a Nintendo 3DS XL system. And then, the new Nintendo 3DS XL system. Playing better than ever, despite a myriad of distractions. Well done, Luigi. Well done. New is good. The new Nintendo 3DS XL system is in stores now.
Welcome back to N-Express, the official Nintendo podcast of soundonsite.org. We are now going to start up with the main event, which is like the main course to your dinner. Going to be very delicious today, as we're going to talk about what characters we want to see in the upcoming Smash Bros. Expansion. In case you haven't heard, we are actually getting the opportunity to vote for a new character to enter the roster of Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS. The voting is going on now on the website and ends sometime in October. So make sure you get out there and vote for which character you want to see on. And we're going to give you a whole bunch of ideas for who to vote for right now.
Okay, because we sort of talked about this 2 weeks ago on our first podcast, right? But last week, I asked our listeners to email us if they had any feedback. And one of our listeners, Joshua, asked us if we can come up with a list of characters we wanted to see. Because we kind of mentioned a few briefly during our Nintendo Direct conversation. But, you know, it was very brief. So thank you, Joshua, for the email. We're going to have a whole segment dedicated to your email.
So thank you.
Oh, and by the way, when you send us an email, let us know where you live. I mean, not your actual exact address. We're not going to go stalk you.
That didn't sound creepy.
What part of the world do you live in?
Moon players are the best players. So why don't we go ahead and get started? Aaron, give us our first character.
Okay, my first character when we're planning the show, I mean, the first thing that popped in my head, and I think is like the best character to have for Super Smash Brothers. First thing that came up was Ryu Hayabusa. For those who don't know Ryu Hayabusa, he was the main character from the Ninja Gaiden games, which started in Nintendo, by the way. So there's no reason why Ryu Hayabusa cannot be in a Super Smash Brothers. If Solid Snake can be in the GameCube Super Smash, I think Ryu Hayabusa could easily be in this generation's Super Smash Brothers games. And his fighting moves are well known to the fans, and it'll just lend well to like the Super Smash Brothers game.
I have two things to say. First of all, Nintendo said that they are totally open with third-party characters, mm-hmm. so anyone is game. Number two, totally agree to some extent. The problem is we already have a somewhat ninja in the game.
What, Greninja?
Greninja?
Well, Greninja, Greninja and Sheik is who I'm Sheik. Thinking of specifically.
Yeah, but
the thing is Nintendo...
He's too cool. How can you not have him?
Dude, I'm not saying I don't want him. I'm just saying that Nintendo specifically stated that they wanted characters that would bring something new and fresh to the series. So I'm all for it, but I'm just letting you know what Nintendo said.
And the only thing I would add is that Snake was actually in the Wii one, not the GameCube one. For those of you out there who are going to email us and correct us on that.
Oh, was he on the Wii?
All right.
Whoops. Sorry.
Yeah. It's all right. I'm here, the official editor of everything these guys say. That's not true. Max, let's go ahead and hear your first character.
All right. You guys just mentioned that maybe Nintendo doesn't want any clones, but the hell with them. This is a clone that I want. I mean, it was just announced recently, of course, that they're releasing Lucas, and sure, you could argue that he's almost a clone of Ness. The character I want to say is Tails from the Sonic series, and while Tails would not have that many moves different from Sonic, he could certainly have different ways to come back to the platform and maybe use his tail in different ways. But for years and years, I've seen fake news reports that Tails was going to be joining the franchise, and I just think that he would be a great addition to the fight.
Alright, Ricky?
Sorry, Max, do you play with Sonic often on Super Smash?
Oh, no, I don't like playing as Sonic at all.
Okay, because that's the thing. I don't know anyone that likes playing as Sonic. And if people play as Sonic, people get so mad.
I know people who are, like, huge Sonic fans, and, yeah, I've stopped trying to argue with them.
No, I mean, I like to main Peach and Jigglypuff, and mainly to irritate people, and... But those are the characters I lean towards. Mm.
All right. Honestly, I just random characters, so if I get Sonic, I will win as Sonic.
Ooh, you're very confident.
No, I'm overly confident when it comes to Smash Bros.
All right.
Go ahead, Ricky. What do you have for us?
I don't think you guys are going to like my first choice. My first choice is King K. Rool. For anyone who doesn't know, K. Rool is, of course, the big baddie, the villain in the Donkey Kong series, and he was developed by Rare when it was under Nintendo's wing, but ever since who took over? It was it Retro?
Retro
took over, yeah. So once Retro took over the Donkey Kong Country series, they basically decided not to include this character in the series anymore, so the big ruler of the Kremlins was no longer the big bad guy in any future Donkey Kong game, although you do see him sometimes being paid homage to, specifically in the last game, for example, the Tropical Freeze game, but he's not actually in the games anymore, which I think is really disappointing, because there's just something really cool about this massive, huge crocodile in Super Smash. Like, I mean, in the actual Donkey Kong games, he's like three times bigger than Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong's a pretty huge, big character, right? So I don't know. I just think it would be great to bring back this character because technically we haven't seen him in a Donkey Kong video game or any Nintendo video game in quite some time. It's been years. And given the overwhelming response from fans, people clearly want to see this character in a game. There's a lot of big hitters in a game like King Dedede and who else is in the game?
Bowser.
Bowser, thank you. But he's got a really unique moveset, and I think his moveset offers plenty of reasons for us to get excited if they do add him into the game. Plus, he has multiple costumes. I mean, this dude has fashion sense. Like, okay, first of all, he's a mad scientist sometimes. Sometimes he's a boxer, which is really cool, especially for a game like Super Smash. And there's a time where he appeared as a pirate, a really creepy pirate, no less. But he's big, he's bad, he's fast. In terms of like fighting moves, think about a boxing gloves, good for jabs. When his gloves are off, you can use a sharp claws. He's a crocodile. He can shoot mini cannonballs with spikes on it, like he did in a Donkey Kong game. So he can have a huge gun, which can also shoot out like gas, which can like stun an opponent or be used as some kind of like smoke screen to blind your opponent. We can also use his propeller pack from the Mad Scientist outfit. So whenever you have to make a long jump or leap very high, you can use a propeller pack. And yeah, you can use his crown as a weapon. I just think it'd be really cool. I don't know how many characters they are going to introduce or for DLC content, but I'm hoping they stick to more Nintendo IPs, not so many third-party characters. Like, I do want to see a few third-party characters, but I think they should really stick to their own characters. And it would be great if we had a new villain in the game. And we have two characters from the Donkey Kong series, but we don't have any bad guys from the Donkey Kong series, even though Donkey Kong technically was the bad guy in the original game, but that's a whole different story because that was a Mario game, really. But even though it was called Donkey Kong,
that'd be a good character.
I actually had to add something to that. I think one of the main reasons why we haven't seen him in a while is because Microsoft bought Rare, and maybe they had control of that character or some sort of rights issue between them and Nintendo on using him.
No, I don't think so. I think they can use the character because they've used all the other characters, right? So why would he be any different?
I don't know.
Like, I don't think they own his character at all. I think Retro just decided to include a new villain moving forward when they took over the series. I don't think it has
keeping it fresh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we could always ask, and I think we should.
Mind you, Phil Spencer recently tweeted that he wanted to see Banjo-Kazooie in the game, and he has no issues with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Microsoft is open to including their characters in a Super Smash game, not so much Sony.
So no Drake. Don't vote for Drake. All right. My first character is actually going to be a very familiar character, but in a totally different form, and that is Yarn Kirby. Kirby's Epic Yarn on the Wii was an absolutely brilliant title, which really, really freshened up the classic Kirby sort of play, but took it in a totally different direction, where you are this little yarn Kirby-designed guy, and the whole world that he was in was all cloth, and it was a ton of fun. You got to use different powers. Your primary weapon is unraveling things with a little yarn whip, and Kirby also transformed into several different shapes, including a flying saucer, a giant robot-y thing with treads for feet, as well as a fire truck. So I think there's a lot of different ways you could take the character. He also could ball up enemies and throw them. So there's a lot of different things that you could do to make this version of Kirby very different from classic Kirby, since he didn't absorb powers, but instead unraveled enemies and whipped them. And I think that'd be really, really fun to celebrate a game that was a ton of fun and maybe my favorite Kirby game ever made, honestly.
Great, and we can get more amiibos that are knitted by Nintendo's grandmas.
Yeah.
And they'll sell them for $20 here in Canada because they just recently raised the price for amiibos.
And you know you would buy it, Ricky.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about amiibos later, okay? Don't get me started now.
All right, full circle. Aaron, what's your second character?
Second character, It's good that you guys clarified about this thing about Rare and Microsoft, because my second character is going to be Conker. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have, well, from Conker's Bad Fur Day, which was a game back on the N64, but since
It
Microsoft.
wasn't just a game, it was the best game on the N64.
Yes, it was, and who does not want to play as Conker in Super Smash? He was such a lovable character and totally badass at the same time. And just think about the stuff he could do. I mean, it sounds kind of morbid for a Super Smash Brothers game, like thinking that, oh, you could just pull out a machine gun with his cigar in his mouth to start shooting at the characters, but that's just I don't know. I just think like he'd be.
They'd have to have an all ages version of Conker.
Yeah, or like back in the Game Boy Advance, like Conker's Pocket Tales, even though like they did a complete 180 from that series. But anyway, yeah, he would be such an interesting character, and we've yet to see anyone like him in a Super Smash Brothers game, so why not put him in there?
Well, Aaron, he's actually my third pick, so I'm gonna have to change my third pick. So I completely, totally agree. I actually just posted a trailer for the new game they're releasing, and although it's not a Nintendo game, I'm really excited. I want to hopefully have a chance to play it one day, even though I don't own an Xbox One. But yeah, man, he would be wicked, awesome.
Yeah,
Just
he
his
would.
personality, you know? Maybe he can come with some like dirty jokes that kids won't really understand because they'll be very, you know, subtle about it in some strange way. Who knows?
All right, Max, who's your second character?
right. I love that Nintendo has been making new IPs lately. So I'm gonna go with one of the squid people from Splatoon would make a great idea. They're already releasing amiibos for the game, and while you have some characters who have guns in Smash Brothers, such as Fox or Zero Suit Samus, I think we could include this new character and have enough things that would differentiate it that would make it interesting.
Yeah. Well,
you
turning
know,
into a squid.
yeah, it could also help make Splatoon more popular because more people will clearly be playing Super Smash and maybe they'll want to go out and buy Splatoon if they didn't originally want to buy Splatoon. My only problem with that is I just don't think that any new characters should be included in the series. I just think there's so many characters that have not yet appeared in a Super Smash game that I kind of feel like they have to like wait a few years. But it would help the sales for Splatoon, I think. Methinks.
Yeah, I mean they did include Fire Emblem Awakening characters, and they have Greninja, which was only recently introduced in the new Pokemon game, so.
And is one of the best additions in recent years. I love playing as Greninja.
Yep.
All right. So why don't we go ahead and Ricky, who's your second character?
I think it's a little too obvious, and maybe you will disagree. Simon Belmont. Because you know, Castlevania originally was on the Nintendo Entertainment System, and it's one of the most popular series ever in any video game console. And even though the Castlevania series has left Nintendo's consoles behind in favor of PlayStation and Xbox, I'm still voting for this character because I think, in terms of finding someone new and something refreshing to do with these characters for the game, which is what Nintendo hopes to do, I think he is the answer. I mean, just think of him as a character. He's dark, he's brooding, he comes from like a this horror video game franchise. Just like the music that can be added to the game. Like, I mean, the music that's composed for any Castlevania game is just like one of the most iconic in any of the NES libraries. Like, I mean, the music for Castlevania games are just incredible. And I think he would be a stellar addition for the lineup. About just think about it, between his whip, throwing knives, holy water, his axe and crosses, he'll have like such an amazing moveset. The only thing is that I don't know how kid-friendly Nintendo wants Super Smash to be, even though it's technically a fighting game. You know, will they allow someone like Simon Belmont in the game who's, you know, a vampire hunter and who can throw an axe and use holy water? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it might be a little too touchy for Nintendo.
We just named Conker, so I th it Simon Belmont doesn't seem so bad right now.
Yeah, and they've had Snake in the past, who's kind of
You mentioned
edgy, a
Snake,
little
which
bit
is great
darker.
because Snake is owned by Konami, who also owns the Castlevania franchise, so they do have a history of working together.
Yeah,
Yeah,
totally.
and there was recently a 3DS Castlevania game, so
Yeah,
there's still a
yeah.
chance.
Oh my God, that game's amazing, by the way. Oh, it's so good. But yeah, and like imagine his final smash, like, he can use like a stopwatch and freeze time. Like that would be incredible, and or make it look like the Matrix end or something. But it would be so cool to play with this character and for him to have his whip, you know. And you could even maybe alternate between Trevor and Simon, who knows. Yeah, so Simon Belmont. I mean, I think Simon Belmont should have been included in a Super Smash game a long time ago. He's like one of those iconic characters of Nintendo's roster. If you look at the NES days, you know, like it was like everyone was like, it was like everyone loved Castlevania. You know, there was always mixed feelings about games like Metroid and Mega Man, but for some reason, everyone, at least in my circle, all loved Castlevania.
They're awesome. I agree. All right. I will second any of the Belmonts for that matter, but my second choice is going to be the Wonderful 100 from the Wonderful 101. While it is a pretty recent game for the Wii U, I thought the characters were absolutely brilliant. The game mechanics were a ton of fun. I don't know if I would try to fit 100 different characters on the screen all at once. Maybe limit it to a couple of the primary party members, Wonders, red, blue, black, white, pink, what have you. But that was a really, really solid title for the Wii U. It's completely underrated, and I think it'd be a lot of fun to throw some of those wacky characters with their very unique move sets, like becoming a giant fist or a giant sword or a giant gun, and try to fit that into a fighting game. I think that'd be a ton of fun.
So it'll be like 100 characters.
And I would probably call them the Wonderful 100, but then limit it to maybe three on screen at a time, pull a Pikmin, something like that.
Yeah.
And just a couple, or maybe even make it sort of like Pokemon Trainer from the Wii title, where you can kind of switch out.
I think it would have to be something like the Switch, because the reason why they didn't include the Ice Climbers is because of the 3DS's limitations.
Yeah. So maybe I would probably have not all characters really be attacking at a time either, so much as one of the characters be attacking at a time, becoming a sword, becoming a fist, but kind of just have them there rather than two different sprites attacking, like the Ice Climbers.
But the thing is, when it comes down to the final smash, that's when you can actually see the 100 characters in the background in the in the animation cutscene.
Exactly.
Just like for example, Mega Man's smash, right? You get to see all the characters in the Mega Man series pop up and help Mega Man win the fight.
Yeah. And something like that would work really, really well and plug a game that really deserves a lot more credit than it got.
Which, by the way, it is always, always on sale. And I think last time I checked the virtual store, which, again, this was like 4 weeks ago, it was like only like $15. It was totally
worth it.
Totally worth it. So if you ever sale, buy it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm enjoying it. I'll probably wait for it to go on sale though. But yeah. So my third character. Who is my third character again? Well, you mentioned Wonderful 101, so immediately it came to mind. I'm just gonna say Beautiful Joe. I think Beautiful Joe would make a good addition to Super Smash Bros. As well, and his powers lend very well to, I mean, for its arcadey style fighting, I mean, being able to like fast forward attacks and dish out like crazy combos while on fast forward, you could slow down time, concentrate more on powerful attacks. I mean, it's like he's such a cool, flashy character, and I think his abilities would lend well to a fighting game like Super Smash.
All right, Max.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that no one's probably going to mention someone else that I'm thinking about, but I'll stick to my number one. I thought that Professor Layton would be a great addition to the Smash Brothers universe. Similar to how Capcom had Phoenix Wright in the Marvel vs. Capcom series, I think Professor Layton would just be a fun, unexpected character to join the fight. I mean, if you can have the Wii Fit trainer, certainly you can have a guy who solves mysteries. I think he's a very popular character from around the world, and you could maybe use some of his problem-solving techniques to get out of a lot of difficult situations in battle.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. And a lot of people really love that franchise, so it would be only appropriate to bring it in. I've got to know who your alternate character was, though. I know this isn't official, but who
would my alternate character would have been Bayonetta. And
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Also, that's where I thought that Aaron was taking his
platinum. Here's the thing. Like, there have been talks, because I read an article, I can't remember from where, but the developers already thought about putting in Bayonetta, but it's because they would have to change the rating system for Bayonetta, so that's why they kind of like cut her out. So that's why I'm like, well, it's automatically she's a no, we can't put her. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mentioned Bayonetta 2 weeks ago when we did our Nintendo Direct podcast, episode one, actually. And right after we recorded the episode, I think I read a similar article too, and they were talking about the rating system. They just wouldn't include her because it's not even about it being, because I mean, yeah, she has guns, but it's more she's just overly sexual in every single which way possible.
But the thing,
like, you can make her like Sarah Suit Samus.
Yeah, I mean,
Samus,
like,
you would be
just cover her up. Is that so hard?
But then what's the point? What's the point in incorporating a character into a game when you are going to completely change her? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're taking the Bayonetta that everyone knows, and you're completely changing her and or covering her up and changing her moveset and the weapons she used. And what's the point in incorporating this character into the game?
And wouldn't her final smash be her ultimate climax or whatever she says in Bayonetta 2? So it's like, you would have to change the obvious facts around the character. I don't know if it'd work that well.
Yeah.
As much as I'd love to see her in there.
I think it really comes down to profanity and the sexuality, not so much the guns and violence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean that's pretty much.
You could even cover her up and still just be.
Look, it's not like Snake's walking around with his cock hanging out. Like, think about it.
All right. Well, Ricky, on that note, do you have your alternate third ready to go?
Sorry.
This is supposed to be a kid-friendly show, by God.
Yes. Nintendo is very kid-friendly. Oh, my God.
Okay, my third pick is really crazy. It's like I was going to go with Conker, but anyways, my third pick is actually kind of like three characters. It's Pimple, Zitz, and Rash. Of course, I'm talking about Battletoads. Because we can't get the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in this game, so why not get the Battletoads?
I'm surprised that totally slipped my mind.
Okay, come on, we had the Battletoads Double Dragon crossover.
Yeah, I remember that game.
No, but we are getting Battletoads in the next Shovel Knight game. And
are we? Seriously? I didn't know that.
If you own a PS4 or PlayStation.
No, it's the Xbox exclusive one.
Oh, it's the Xbox. Ooh.
Yeah, PlayStation is getting Kratos.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, no, I just think it would be great to play with these characters. The moveset would be awesome. Once again, you know, like, I wouldn't ever want Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the fighting game Super Smash, but, you know, this is the closest we can get in which the characters kind of make sense, because Battletoads, like, growing up, you know, it was one of those games that I remember renting at a video store, and it was like a blind rent for me, you know, sort of like a blind buy. Like, I heard rumors that the game was good, but I never really like saw any footage. I never read anything about it. And I came home and I played it, and it was like, I don't know if it stands the test of time, but it was just kind of like a really fun, like really, really fun game. It was just really fun and totally like bonkers. And you're playing with these toads. It was awesome. And I just think it would be really cool if they could find a way to, like, I mean, I don't know if it's just like, you know how in Super Smash you can change your costume, like maybe changing your costume would change the characters. Like, you see, you can go from like Pimples to like Zitz, you know, and like, I don't know if the name can change. Maybe they can find a way to have the name change. Maybe the whole character can change. Maybe you can play with one of the characters and then your Super Smash would bring the other two to help you out somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's just in an animated cutscene. If I had to pick which one I would want, if they would only include one, I think I would pick Pimple, George Pie, because he was the muscle.
I completely agree with you. I mean, it'd be cool to just bring new life to these characters again.
So Battletoads. And my special mention was actually Shovel Knight, but The thing with Shovel Knight is I think he's just too new of a character. Like, I mean, there's plenty of characters who've been around for decades and they haven't made an appearance in a Super Smash game. And so I think as much as I love Shovel Knight, it was my favorite game and still is my favorite game released in 2014. I think he needs to wait a few years before he is before he should be considered. Sorry, Shovel Knight.
I might disagree because Shovel Knight's so good, but I see what you're saying, since there are so many characters that we've already brought up, like Simon Belmont, that really need to be in these games. So since we're doing sort of special mentions, I'll go ahead and touch on the fact that we did already talk about Travis Touchdown from No More Heroes as a character in our Nintendo Direct podcast, as well as I mentioned Callus from Baten Kaitos, an old GameCube game. And those would typically be my final picks for who I want to see in Smash, and I will not give up on those characters. But I am going to go with someone else that I haven't talked about before, and that is Matthew and or Isaac from the Golden Sun series. Isaac was the protagonist of the first Golden Sun game on Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. Matthew was his son in the DS title that came out not terribly long ago. And I would just love to see some of those characters brought into the series, because they were amazing, amazing RPG games for the Game Boy Advance and DS, respectively, where I can easily imagine the characters using their swords and or other weapons, as well as their little magical djinn characters.
Yeah, like both of which, like huge, big, when the djinns get together and summon like a big beast.
Yeah, exactly. It's all ripe for a Final Smash right there. Mm-hmm. I believe it was called Final Judgment for the first game, where they basically made this like giant like Megazord thing, and it was epic.
Yeah,
and I remember
that
as a young kid. I was stoked out of my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was so cool. And these djinn are really cool elemental, like cute creatures that you collect, and they give you different abilities. If you've never played Golden Sun, you can buy it on the eShop right now. It's totally worth it. These games are a ton of fun, and I would love to see Nintendo bring them back as characters and maybe even bring these series back to life, because they're such good games.
It was.
Somewhere on Reddit, someone released a list, and I'm not sure how official it is. I'm not sure how legit it is, but anyways, there is a list of the rankings for the most votes for characters, and number one is Shovel Knight. And I believe the Golden Sun characters are in second or third place.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I endorse that message.
Yeah, so most people are voting for Shovel Knight. But actually, someone tweeted at Yacht Club, and they asked Yacht Club, you know, would you want to see Shovel Knight in Super Smash? And Yacht Club was like all over there, like, yes, please, yes, please. They really, really want it.
Mm-hmm. Well, why wouldn't they?
I think everyone really wants it. Yeah, it'd be so fun. He'd fit right in. All right, well, that was our main event. We really hope you enjoyed. Please feel free to email us or comment down below who you would like to see. We would love to hear it. These are just some ideas of who you should go vote for.
Actually, I really think to do is head over to our website, soundonsite.org, and leave a comment in the actual post for this podcast, because it's the best way that all four of us will see it.
Yeah, and we love comments and likes. Just saying, do it. Or if you want to read more about this, I wrote an article of who I would like to see in the Wii U title before the game actually came out. So feel free to look that up as well for some other fun ideas that I had come up with.
Sorry, that was a great article.
Thank you.
And your number one pick was Mewtwo, no?
Yeah, he was my special mention. So when they announced him as coming back for Wii U and 3DS, there was maybe some happy dancing involved on my part.
I'll link the article to our show notes over at soundinsight.org.
Yeah, I would love to look at that again. It was a fun article. We're going to take a brief break and be right back. Welcome back to N-Express. We are at the post-game content segment of the show, where we are actually going to talk about the brand new Box Boy, which, Ricky, you have been playing that, have you not?
Yeah, so this is what I like to call our indie spotlight. So indie games are gaining popularity, especially over the last, like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years, but it's getting to the point where, you know, a game like Shovel Knight is like winning awards and it's put aside like the AAA titles, right? An interesting side effect is that larger studios are branching out with smaller games. So they are creating these very small, tiny games on a small budget to expand on some new ideas. It's sort of their way of testing the waters. So enter HAL Laboratory, who are famous, of course, for Kirby and Super Smash. And they released a game called Box Boy, which I'm sure everyone's at least seen the trailer for because it was on the Nintendo Direct recent episode, right? And this is like an amazing game, guys, especially if you love Tetris and Kirby, because it's like kind of like combining Tetris and Kirby. It's essentially a throwback to the puzzle platformers that were released on the original Game Boy. It has a very simple premise. You play as QB. I think his name is pronounced QB. QBBY. He's a little cute little square with two dots for eyes and a pair of stick legs, and you basically walk around as QB, and you can jump, you know, not like Super Mario jumps, like very brief, short jumps. And he has the power to make squares sprout out of his body, and so he uses his cloning abilities to create platforms and allows you, the player, to reach higher grounds and create these blocks to sort of like overcome these roadblocks, right? And it's just, I don't know what it is about this game. I just love it. It's you can most likely finish this game in like 5 hours straight. It's not very hard, but this is the kind of game I want on my 3DS because it's simple. It's short. Each level takes like about a minute or two to complete, if not just a little bit longer. Yeah, like I don't really know how to sell this game. I think it's just a really cute game. It's got a very simple story. You're basically trying to save your world, which I believe was hit from like a meteor. And there isn't much to the story, but there is a story, and the character is really cute. And that's about the extent of it. Like, there's a female box that you meet along the way, and you meet this tall box, so you have like two companions. But outside of like a couple of story beats between worlds, you aren't really given much to the story, but it's still very, very charming. It's not like, again, it's not very hard. So if you're like obsessed with puzzle games and you really want a challenge, maybe Box Boy isn't for you. But if you want something simple to play, then I would totally recommend it because it's not very expensive to download. I think it was like $5, and it introduces new possibilities. So it does get harder. Like, it starts off really easy, but it does get progressively harder, and it introduces these new possibilities to the elements of the gameplay. Like, you can it includes like teleportation, and you can move platforms, and you can QB at one point can use shields, and he can protect himself from lasers, and you can extend your body, and it's really cool. And I love the idea of this new character and this new game, and I think I can see them like releasing like a sequel upon sequel upon sequel and really expanding on this game and in so many, many ways. So I think it's a perfect puzzler for playing on the move. I highly recommend it, and I really do like the presentation because it's bare bones, but it's because they want it to be bare bones. You know, everything about it is very simple. It's black and white, it's simplistic, but it's bold, it's got a clear visual style. I like the music. I like everything about this game. I highly recommend it. I think it's essential playing for anyone that has a 3DS, guaranteed, especially because it's so cheap. Last thing I want to say about this game that I really, really love is, okay, so there's 17 core worlds, right? But as you progress, you actually, it's like each stage has like a bunch of medals, right? And so you collect all of these like crowns. And the more you collect, the more you can purchase. And when I say purchase, it's because you can actually go in the shop. Like, there's a shop in the game, and you can buy like costumes and music tracks and all kinds of things to help enhance the gameplay. So, for example, with costumes, like one of the first costumes that you can buy is you walk around as like a rapper. So you're like pretty much like a block with like sunglasses and a baseball cap. And you can also be like a ninja at one point in time and a devil. So that's like my favorite thing about the game is the fact that you can actually take this character who starts off as like a square, like essentially like a block, and you can actually add like costumes to him. I thought that was really cool. So yeah, Box Boy, love it.
All right, good words. In continuing with our third episode 3DS theme, we're going to go ahead and talk to Max about the recently released Codename Steam.
All right, yeah, so I recently had the opportunity to play Codename Steam, and it's a lot of fun. It's It's a new title by Intelligent Systems, who are responsible for Fire Emblem Awakening and Advanced Wars. And it's a third-person strategy game. And fans of Valkyria Chronicles and XCOM will feel right at home. And, yeah, your players go across a map using... Each character has its own unique abilities and move sets. And it has a really goofy storyline. It's like in a steampunk world where Abraham Lincoln is the leader of the pack, and all the characters are based after like classic fairy tales. Like they have the lion is supposed to be from Wizard of Oz, and they have Tom, who's supposed to be another fairy tale. And it's really tongue-in-cheek with the humor. I think it's a great addition to what the 3DS can do. It's gotten a lot of knocks. It hasn't really gotten the best reviews that many Nintendo first-party games get, but I think that it's well worth playing. The time I spent with it was really good. One of the biggest problems that I found with it was that you'd have to watch the aliens make movements while you were playing the game, and it would take quite a while for them to make their moves, and it can slow gameplay down to a crawl. Well, during the new Nintendo Direct, Nintendo announced that they'll be releasing an update to the game that allows you to fast forward the enemy moves. So I believe that will take one of the biggest problems out of the game and make it a lot more playable.
You know, that's why I didn't buy the game. I remember I headed out to the store and I was going to buy a codename Steam, and all my friends were complaining about it and they were talking about the loading time, and so I ended up buying Monster Hunter 4 instead. But I think it's really amazing that Nintendo has quickly responded to the complaints and they are releasing the solution. So I'm not entirely sure when it's going to be resolved, but it should be very soon.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm very happy that they realized that this was a problem and was hurting this title. In addition, Codename Steam has amiibo support, like many Nintendo titles do these days, and you can have the Fire Emblem characters join in the fight, and they'll feel right at home with Intelligent Design, like Intelligent Systems of a franchise, right into Codename Steam. So
they were supposed to release Marth and Ike again, or at least they made it official they were going to release Marth again, but there was rumors about Ike and all the Fire Emblem characters because of the Codename Steam. And then they delayed the re-release of Marth. And, you know, there was just like that was the most disappointing thing in terms of releases for Nintendo recently, was the Codename Steam, with all the complaints of the loading time and how it would slow it down to a crawl, and the amiibo release, and just everything, all the promises of that game just kind of fell through. So I'm glad they are eventually, like, quickly, I guess, quick enough resolving these issues, but they should have had these issues resolved before the game was released. Me thinks.
Yeah, I can see that, but I definitely would still recommend it. I mean, it's not without merit. It's a fun game, and now that some of these issues are being ironed out, I'm sure plenty of people will have fun with it.
But it's strange, because Nintendo is not known to release games that are incomplete or to have these sort of problems, and they just released this game like not too long ago, and if they're going to fix these problems in the next like week or so, they should have just waited to release the game when it was proper and ready to be released, I think. Like, I don't know, because I'm speaking from a personal experience here. That's why I personally didn't buy the game, because I heard of these complaints, and if I felt that way, there's a good chance, you know, many more people also felt the exact same way. When you have to choose which games you want to buy and there's so many games released per week, you know, that's a deal breaker sometimes.
It wasn't Nintendo in-house developed, though, was it?
No, but regardless, it's Nintendo. It's Nintendo releasing a video game that, at the end of the day, they are overseeing, and they have tight control on all their projects, regardless of who's developing it, you know? So, I don't know. I think they've done a bit more testing.
Yeah, and I mean, Intelligent Systems is in control of Fire Emblem. I think they're pretty buddy-buddy with Nintendo, so...
Yeah, that's very true. All right, I've been wondering who this game is for, Max, in consideration of the difficulty and the silly story. Who do you think is the target audience of Codename Steam?
Well, you do bring up two good points, and I think that it is for people who like tactics games, who like sort of puzzling around, because you can easily mess up your move and get destroyed on a map. I think that it does have enough in it, though, that it's not as punishing as Fire Emblem is, where there's no permadeath. So I think it does play more towards a casual audience. I hope enough people give it a shot. I don't know its numbers or if we'll see a sequel, but I think that it's exciting that they're trying new things.
Well, you know what's funny is I have no idea what to expect playing this game. Like, can you give me some sort of comparison? Is there a game that you can say, okay, if you like so-and-so game, you will like...
Well, I mentioned XCOM and Valkyria Chronicles before. I understand that they're probably not mainstream titles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you it's all, like all those top-down tactics games too. You have a certain amount of moves that you can make because each character has steam, and that's as far as they can move. And within that steam, they also have to attack and move.
Okay.
So you only have a certain amount of movement and actions that you can make per turn, per character.
Okay, so that makes more sense. And so did you try using an amiibo on Codename Steam?
I did not have the amiibos needed to try that.
Oh, I'm sure you can check eBay, where it's where amiibos are exclusive to eBay.
Ricky and his amiibos.
Yes, more amiibo talks.
I just have some unfinished business since we are in post-game content, the section here in which we can pretty much shoot about whatever we want to shoot about, and won't take up too much of your time. Tim, in response to your amiibo dig at me, here's the thing. The Gold Mario amiibo got released Friday here in Canada, and I was just like, I don't give a shit. I did not even try to buy a Gold Mario amiibo. First of all, I don't think I need a Gold Mario amiibo because it looks exactly like the amiibo for Mario Party, and I just... I'm at the point now where, like, unless Nintendo starts making these amiibos, like, readily available for the fans and not the scalpers, I don't think I'm gonna waste any more time trying to hunt down these amiibos. If I see it at the store, I'll buy it. Like, you know, if I want the character, but I'm not gonna go hunting for amiibos anymore because this is getting out of control.
Yeah,
which
is what's my problem with amiibos right now. It's like there's so little use for them. Why are people going crazy over it?
Yeah, it's still in early stages, and they are promising new features, but the problem is, you know, you are releasing a product now that's supposed to give us bonus content on video games. Like, can I just get, once again, and I promise this is the last time I'm going to do this, second week in a row here, I'm going to talk about Mario Kart 8, the villager costume. I was told you need the villager amiibo. How the hell am I ever going to get the villager costume in Mario Kart 8 if the villager amiibo is not available to purchase anywhere but eBay for $200? Like, come on, Nintendo.
Yeah, and you haven't even mentioned that we now have Greninja exclusive to Toys R Us, Jigglypuff is exclusive to Target, I think.
I can't believe they
go
one more.
And Ness is exclusive to GameStop.
There you go.
I can't believe they go on Nintendo Direct and they announce this news like they should be proud of it. Like, come on. Like, okay, first of all, exclusive to Target. We don't have Target in Canada, okay? B, exclusive to GameStop. That's like, I know they have supposedly the best pre-order system online, but at least the GameStop stores here in Canada, you know what happens? They get like maybe two or three figures and they reserve it for friends of the staff. You're not going to get your hands on those figures. And I went to Toys R Us today, not to buy the Gold Mario amiibo. I went for a different reason, but I happened to ask the guy, because I know the guy that works there. I'm like, by the way, just curious, how many Gold Mario amiibos did you get? And he's like, oh, I got two. And he's like, basically, I opened up the store at like 10 in the morning. There was a lineup of 50 people. The first two people purchased them. I know they're scalpers, so they got one each because we only give one per customer now, and that was it. Those were like 50 people that lined up on a Friday afternoon to buy a Gold Mario amiibo. Everyone else is working and or in school. Imagine if they released it at like 6 p.m. The lineup would have been around the block, and they would have had two. Come on.
Yeah, that's kind of a buzzkill.
Yeah,
at least with, I know Greninja, they announced that they're going to do another in-store pre-order on April 27th. So if that's when you really want, there's still a chance. You can't get them online,
dude,
but they are going to have in-store supplies that you can pre-order.
Jigglypuff crashed GameStop's online, whatever you call it, online shopping system. Jigglypuff, like, clearly there's a demand for these figures, so why don't they just release more? Like, it's so annoying. Like, it's not just a collectible. It's something that you can actually use to unlock things in the games that you're already purchasing, you know? Like, it's just so frustrated with Nintendo right now. And the last piece of news is I did receive No More Heroes. I received it in the mail on Thursday morning. I haven't yet opened it. I'm going to start playing it as of Monday. So I will, as I promised, have a talk spot dedicated to this game in the upcoming episode.
We will look forward to that. It's such a great game. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else to add, guys? All right. Ricky D, where do we find you?
Online, I use Twitter only to really promote the articles of my friends, because I hate Twitter. Sorry, guys. There's too much negativity there. I mean, negativity all throughout the internet, but especially in Twitter. But anyways, I'm not going to talk about my Twitter problems right now. You can find me on Twitter at Sound On Sight. Like us on Facebook, Sound On Sight. And follow us on Tumblr, Twitter. It's all Sound On Sight, soundonsight.org. I also have a Walking Dead podcast, a Game of Thrones podcast, a movie podcast. You can find it all over at our website. And, you know, give us a rating on iTunes. It's the first time we ask our listeners to give us a rating on iTunes, but I think it's about time we start. So if you really like the show, please do us a favor. Head over to iTunes. It takes 2 seconds of your time. Give us a rating, be it 5 stars, 4 stars. You know, if you're going to give us 0 stars, then, you know, just, like, forget it.
It's not even going to show up.
All right, Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheCharmless6. I also host a PC gaming podcast. You can check that out on iTunes at FTW Gaming Podcast.
All right. Max Colville, our guest host and other games editor at SoundOnSite.org. Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Sound On Sight, where this month we're having a special theme called Legendary Journeys, where we look at some long-form games and write about them. You can also find me at my website, Impassioned Cinema, or on at Twitter, at Impassioned Cinema, spelled as it sounds.
And I am Tim Mason. You can find me in the game section of soundonsight.org or at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been N-Express. Talk to you next time.
Citizens, look around. Can you hear that fearsome sound? There's a menace that's encroaching. Something alien's approaching. Join the team that goes by codename Steam. Pick up your pack and march to fight back the monster menace. What a team. They call them codename Steam. United they stand with every woman, child, and man. Yes, the American dream won't run out of steam. Not with you and our team. No, sir! Citizens, look sharp if you fear the future's dark. A righteous cloud's a-coming that'll send those creatures running. It's the team that I call Codename Steam. Soaring the skies, they've got their sights on the monster's menace. No, don't scream, just call for Codename Steam. Oh, when things look rough, you'll find they're always up to snuff. Codename Steam, a strike team handpicked by President Lincoln himself to defend America. No, the world from the terrible alien threat. Armed with the latest in steam technology, they're all that stand between us and total annihilation.
Chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your office early next week.